promised. Chapter 36, Avery. Another day, another blue sky, another super yacht, but it might be my last first day of the yachting season. I glanced across the marina from the upper deck of the Venus. The view always looked prettier just before the guests arrived. At the start of my last season, I'd been standing on a deck, waiting to meet the man who would break my heart. I couldn't help but wonder what Hayden was doing right now. At the beginning of the last season, I hadn't even met him, which seemed ridiculous since my feelings for him were so strong, as if we'd been joined together in a previous lifetime, then found each other again. Yet he'd discarded me so easily. He couldn't have felt as strongly as I had. Still did. I hated myself for being in love with him. He'd betrayed me, yes, but I couldn't hate him for it. Couldn't switch off my love for him just like that. My radio crackled.
Avery, Eric, and Josh, this is the captain. Preferences meeting in the crew mess.
I pulled the radio from my belt. Roger that. I turned and headed inside to the main salon. The guests were due to arrive within the hour, so this was late for a preferences meeting, but we received it whenever the guests filled it in.
This is pretty standard stuff, but we don't have much time,
Captain Moss said, starting the meeting before we'd all sat down.
6 guests. They have 3 more for lunch today who will be leaving tonight. They're combining business with pleasure, so they may have guests on and off the boat during the course of the charter.
Charters that combined business entertaining tended to be a little easier. They'd want to spend a lot of time eating and drinking, and all the bedrooms wouldn't be occupied.
One of them is a vegetarian,
the captain continued,
and one of them doesn't eat meat but eats fish. Another doesn't eat carbs.
Josh rolled his eyes, but we all knew the dietary requirements could be far worse.
They like mojitos and champagne, and only organic sparkling water.
It was my turn to roll my eyes. The guests were perfectly happy to drink cocktails, but of course their water had to be organic. Captain Moss scanned down the page and we followed his lead.
No expensive whiskeys or cigars. They want the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and Washington Post every day.
We got through the rest of the sheet in record time.
Right, that's it. I'll see you out on the main deck.
He checked his watch.
Eric, make sure you've got crew down there to deal with luggage. They'll be here any minute.
I stood and pulled out 11 champagne glasses, 2 for orange juice. In Miami, there was always someone who abstained from alcohol. The remaining 9 I began to fill with champagne. Can I help? Skylar came in behind me. Sure, grab the orange juice and fill 2 glasses. Our radios crackled.
All crew, all crew. Guests are on the jetty.
Shit, Skylar said. Early. Just our luck, I said. We got the champagne out and practically ran to the main deck, lining up just in time to see the first guest emerge from the stairs. I held my tray and plastered on my best super yacht smile. This might be the last time I would open a season, and I was excited about what that meant for my future. We greeted the primary and his wife, Brad and Jennifer, and their guests began to fill the deck. I tried to pick out the ones we'd had photographs of who were staying over.
We're missing someone,
Brad said.
Oh, here he is.
He turned to the stairs as their final guest appeared.
Hayden, we thought we'd lost you. This is Hayden Wolf, a business associate of ours.
It was as if the whole world dropped away, leaving just him and me. For what seemed like 1,000 years, I was totally paralyzed, unable even to blink. Our eyes locked, and he smiled. I couldn't respond. What was he doing here? The world whooshed back, and I heard the captain chuckling as he and Hayden shook hands, and Skylar gasped beside me.
Avery, Skylar, August, Eric, good to see you.
He took a glass of champagne from my tray and lifted it slightly as if he were toasting something. Was this a coincidence? He didn't seem shocked to see me, so had he known I would be here? Did he want to question me again? I had nothing left to tell him. I hadn't had any more approaches from anyone. Was he here to cause trouble for me? Make me feel worse about something I didn't do? Maybe he was here to get me fired.
Avery, do you want to leave the tour until later? That way you can all enjoy your meal, and we can do the tour after when those who aren't staying have left.
Trapped in a fog, I took the guests to their table, asked them about wine, and made sure everyone was happy. I avoided looking at Hayden and tried to remember the preferences sheet we'd only just been through. I would have seen his name and photograph if he was staying over, right? I might be able to get through a lunch, but I couldn't handle a week with him. Not here. Not after all those things he'd accused me of. Not when I still loved him, despite it all. He seemed engaged in talking to Brad, so as soon as I could, I headed back to the galley, trying to fight back the nausea building in my stomach. Why was he here? Are you okay? Skylar asked as I walked into the galley, my legs heavy, my brain fuzzy with trying to process what was going on. Did you know he was going to be here? I shook my head as I slid the tray onto the counter. Not a clue. I looked up at Skylar, who shrugged. I think you should take a moment. He's only here for lunch, and August and I can cover that.
What's going on?
Chef Josh asked as he pulled open the refrigerator. Nothing. Skylar and I chorused. Yeah, if you and August can do lunch service, that would be good. Hopefully Skylar was right and Hayden would leave soon. Avoiding him would be the best for both of us. I had to be the last person he wanted to see. Sure, you stay here and... You think he's here to say sorry? She asked. I frowned. No, he made up his mind. This is just a coincidence, right? She shrugged and took out a fresh bottle of champagne from the cooler. It's just, I don't know. You look good together. My stomach somersaulted. He looked good. He always looked good. But I knew his heart wasn't mine. I just had to hide in here for a couple of hours, and then I could get on with my last charter season.
Chapter 37. Hayden. This could have been the very worst idea I'd ever had. There was no doubt Avery had been shocked to see me on the main deck. I should have expected it, I supposed. I just thought I might see something other than shock. I thought that her professional exterior might melt a little, and I'd see that she loved me, as I loved her.
"Can I get you a top-up, Mr. Wolf?"
Skylar asked, as she tipped the bottle of champagne toward my glass. "Thank you," I replied. "Where's Avery?" I kept my voice low and quiet, so only she and I could hear. Avery had disappeared as soon as she'd shown us to our table. Skylar and August had served lunch. Was she avoiding me?
"She's in the galley," she replied.
Brad had regularly invited me to join him on his yacht. I'd always declined, but this time I'd preempted his request and told him I'd been very happy with Captain Moss and that he should consider chartering the boat he was captaining. Brad had taken my suggestion, and I'd accepted his subsequent invitation, although I'd declined the stayover. Once I'd started to make things right, attempted to neutralize some of the poisonous things Cannon had done in order to bring me down, I'd been desperate to see Avery, and getting on a yacht was the quickest way I knew how. As soon as I'd laid eyes on her, all my feelings magnified and multiplied, and more than ever I realized what an idiot I'd been. Avery Walker wasn't capable of betraying anyone. I knew that, had always known it deep down. So why had I accused her? I'd let the dirty tricks of a business rival color everything around me, and in the mindset where everyone was either a suspect or guilty, I'd lashed out. Avery had borne the brunt of my frustration with Cannon and my desire to defeat them. I'd tried to rehearse an apology on the plane ride over, but I hadn't been able to get the words to fit together properly. I couldn't think of a single reason why she'd forgive me, but I had to try. I couldn't just walk away. As lunch finished up, I said my goodbyes to Brad and his wife and the other guests and excused myself. Instead of heading straight off the yacht, I made my way inside, making some excuse about using the loo. I spotted the entrance to the galley, and my heart began to clatter in my chest. I didn't want to get her in trouble, but I wasn't about to leave this boat without having a conversation with her. I exhaled when I saw her sitting at the table, writing notes in her neat handwriting, the profile of her perfect ponytail exposing that long, soft neck. "Avery," I said. She closed her eyes in a long blink,
and then she turned and looked up at me as if it were the last thing she wanted to do. Her resistance ploughed an ache deep within me. I wanted her, needed her. Did she hate me? Was I irredeemable? She glanced across the room and my eyes followed hers. There was a guy in the kitchen I didn't recognize, though his eyes were fixed on me and Avery. He grinned and turned his back on us as he continued with his work. "Can I have a word?" I asked, focusing my attention on Avery. "Perhaps you'll see me off the yacht?"
"Of course."
A professional smile overrode her sadness as she slid out from the table, then led the way off the Venus. I wasn't sure which I preferred, her sorrow or a smile that wasn't real. She led the way as we walked off the deck and down the stairs. She stopped when we got to the bottom, folding her arms and inspecting the wooden slats of the jetty. "Let's walk," I said. I'd forgotten what it was like to be this close to her, how much I liked having her by my side, walking, working, fucking. I liked doing everything with her. When we were out of sight of the yacht, I stopped. "I have an apology to make that's so big it had to be made in person." She glanced up at me, her eyes narrowing. "I know you didn't accept the money from Cannon," I said. She stayed perfectly still. She didn't even blink. "I know you're not capable of such a thing. I should never have questioned it in the first place. I knew you better than that." She closed her eyes and shook her head. I wasn't sure if she was blocking me out or telling me she wouldn't forgive me. "I don't know what to say." I wasn't used to apologizing. I was rarely wrong, but I'd never been so sorry, and I'd never been so wrong. And I needed her to believe me. I needed not to have messed up so badly that I'd lost her forever. "I'm so sorry. I'm an asshole, and I've fucked everything up." The words spluttered from my mouth in a desperate attempt to say everything all at once. "I trusted you. I love you. I knew you were on my side. I don't know what happened." Looking back, I didn't know why I doubted her. Everything she'd said made sense. "I think there was so much going on. My focus was all off and I couldn't see the truth when it was right in front of me." Her brow crumpled, and she uncrossed her arms as she gazed up at me, blinking as if she'd just seen the sun.
"You believe me? You love me?"
I nodded. "I do. Of course I do. I'm an idiot. A very sorry idiot. I should never have ever doubted you." She sighed.
"Finally,"
she said, her voice quiet with relief.
"I couldn't betray you. Not for any amount of money."
Of course she wouldn't. She was too good, too decent, too self-sacrificing. I wanted to reach for her, pull her into my arms and protect her for the rest of time. From the likes of Cannon, from idiots like me who didn't appreciate her. "Cannon pulled strings to get your brother's health insurance reassessed. They were trying to make you take the money," I said, wanting to fill the silence, wanting to earn her trust back.
"Jesus,"
she said, stamping her delicate foot on the worn wood of the jetty.
"That was them? Fuckers."
"That we can agree upon." I wanted to take every drop of her pain away.
"They were trying to ruin my life, so I'd be forced to take the money."
She crossed her arms and gazed out at the sea. I wanted her to look at me. I wanted to see forgiveness in her eyes. "It would seem so. Again, it was my fault. If I hadn't been on this yacht, your brother's health insurance would never have been affected."
"Wow," she replied. "These people have so much power."
"Too much power. She shouldn't have to live with the sword of Damocles hovering over her family. She'd done nothing but do right by everyone in her life."
"For a second, I imagined what my life would be if I'd taken that money," she said, squinting at the sun. "I took the phone. I thought about it."
"Don't feel bad about that. They made it as tempting as they could for you. And you know, if it had been my brother, I probably would have taken the cash. She laughed, and I couldn't help but smile as I saw that open, genuine joy on her face. But she stopped herself abruptly and turned to me.
But your deal went through, right? They didn't win.
I couldn't believe that with everything she'd been through, the way I'd treated her, she was still worried about me. Everything is fine with Phoenix, but I don't care about that. I'm here. I want to make things right with you. A breeze interrupted the still, hot air and blew a stray strand of brown hair across Avery's face. Instinctively, I brushed it away.
I missed you, I said, cupping her face and sweeping my thumb over her cheek.
She closed her eyes, as if it were too painful to hear the words.
I missed you, she replied. I know I don't deserve it, but forgive me.
She leaned into my palm.
It's done already. I couldn't be angry at you, even before you came here. Well, I was at first, but I saw the pressure you were under, the betrayal you were having to deal with.
My heart soared. I knew I didn't deserve her forgiveness, but to have it, to hear her say it, this was the summit of Everest. Looking at her was the best view in the world.
Forgive, but don't forget. That's what my dad always says.
My stomach flipped over. Of course she couldn't forget. What I'd done was question who she was. But did that mean there was no chance of a future together?
Did you find your leak?
She placed a hand on my chest, and I stepped forward so there was just an inch separating us. I nodded. I did. They'd been paid very well by Cannon over this last year or so.
What people will do for money, huh?
She said. I'd do anything for you, I whispered. Rob a bank, bury a body, whatever you want me to do. Her silence expanded as her palm seared into my chest and my thumb stroked her cheek.
I should get back, she said eventually. I can't leave Skylar and August on their own any longer.
Were we done? Had whatever she'd felt for me fizzled and died as my accusations took over? I needed a way back. I couldn't give up.
Come back. Later. Tonight. I can't leave the yacht. You know that.
By forgiving me, she'd given me more than I could have possibly hoped for. But I still hoped for more. I wanted her heart, her body, her soul.
Then I'll wait. When can I see you again?
She tilted her head.
Go back to London, Hayden. I'm here all season.
She pulled her bottom lip between her teeth.
You have a life there.
I want you in my life. I just...
This... We're... I don't know what you want or what you're expecting, but I have responsibilities. I have 5 months here, and then... We're not compatible.
I hated hearing her say that. I'd never met anyone I was so compatible with.
That's not true, and I don't think you believe it either. If you can forgive me, then we can go back to...
To what?
We had a fling on a yacht for a few weeks. You said yourself that the logistics were challenging.
If you're telling yourself it was just a fling, then you are a liar. She didn't respond. She didn't have to. We both knew what we had wasn't some kind of fleeting throwaway connection.
I'm not saying it won't have challenges, I said. But I like to face my battles and win them. I'm not going to slink away because it might be too difficult.
You're worth more than that. She glanced back to the boat.
It's not just that.
She paused, and as her eyes flickered over my face, I could see she was trying to decide whether or not to tell me what she was thinking.
I just don't think I can. I saw the promise of something when you and I were together, Hayden. I need you to be the man I thought you were. The one who was in my corner, who respected me, believed me to be on his side. I deserve that man.
You do, I replied, trying to keep my voice from breaking. She was right. I wasn't good enough for her. And I want to be that man for you. Perhaps I wasn't then, but meeting you has changed so much for me. More than that, losing you turned my world upside down and made me reassess everything. I can't lose you. I want to spend the rest of my life working to be the man who deserves you. Silence surrounded us. I didn't want to even breathe in case I missed the next thing she said. I need to go, she said. Had I lost her, I couldn't just walk away. I pulled out a business card. My mobile number is on this card. Promise me you'll meet me when this charter is over. That's just 5 days away.
You're going to fly back in 5 days?
No. I shook my head, and I was certain I saw a trace of disappointment flicker over her face. I'm not leaving Miami. Not until I've convinced you that I love you. Her teeth caught her bottom lip, but she reached out and took the card. I wanted to grab her, kiss her, hold her, but I held back. I shouldn't push her, no matter how hard I wanted to. Not yet. Not now.
I have to go, she said.
Promise me. 5 days.
I won't make promises I don't know if I can keep, but I promise I'll call to let you know.
It was a small victory, but I'd take it. I was impatient to get to the bit where I could kiss her, hold her, when she'd be mine. She looked back down the jetty.
I really have to go.
I couldn't bring myself to respond. I didn't want to say goodbye. I've missed you, I said. She nodded and turned, then made her way back to the yacht. She glanced over her shoulder as she walked away and gave me a small smile. I'd do anything it took for that not to be the last smile of hers I saw.
Chapter 38, Avery. I had a mammoth decision to make, and for the first time in a long time, I didn't know what to do. My heart had been thudding through my chest all morning. We were just off the coast of Bermuda, and Captain Moss had pulled up the anchor to take our guests back to shore. This was it. The charter was almost over, and that meant I owed Hayden Wolf a phone call. His dog-eared, ragged business card was under my pillow, which was where I'd kept it since he'd given it to me. Each night, I'd take it out, turn it over in my hand, and ask myself whether I should call. Because I wanted to. I really wanted to. He believed me, and I'd long forgiven him for questioning my loyalty and character. And I loved him. I truly loved him, and he said he loved me. So it was simple, right? I should just call him. The problem was, I'd hurt so much during these months since he'd left the yacht. The pain had been raw and visceral, but I was beginning to heal, sort of. At least I had accepted a future without him. Then he showed up 5 days ago while I was trying to plan a future that didn't include him. Things had been made easier because I knew he hated me, and because he clearly hadn't shared the deep fundamental feelings I had for him. I wouldn't have assumed the worst of him and called him a liar. The imbalance in our feelings made it easier to see the future without him. Can we get you anything else? I asked the six guests still seated at lunch.
I think we're good, Brad said, glancing at his watch. We need to pack.
There were only a few minutes of this charter left, and the ticking of the clock was booming in my ears. I think August has done that for you while you've been at lunch, I replied. His wife patted his hand. It's all handled. That's what they'd paid for, and that's what we'd done. It had been a good charter. The guests had been friendly and fun without being too much of either. As the kickoff to what may well be my last season, I couldn't complain. Skylar and I cleared the table and tidied away the kitchen while the deck crew docked the yacht and then hauled all the luggage up from the bedrooms. The last half an hour was always busy, but it was also when the crew wore their biggest smiles. I can't wait to get wasted tonight, August said as she shut the dishwasher with her hip. It's still so hard to get used to pouring champagne for other people when you can't drink it yourself. Where are we going? I shrugged and looked at the other crew members gathering in the galley, ready to say goodbye to the guests. Can we start drinking right away, like before tonight, as soon as they're gone? August asked. It's going to be a very long season if you need to drink that bad already, I replied. But as long as Captain Moss says we're on free time until tomorrow, then you're good. I just want to make a martini and get to drink it myself, you know what I mean? August asked. I knew exactly what she meant. My dad was right. We spent so much time looking after others that along the way I'd forgotten what I wanted, what I liked, what I loved. The only interruption on my horizon of other people's needs and wants had been Hayden. He'd been mine, just for me. I told him I'd call him, whatever my decision was, and although I had all these fears, all these reasons why Hayden and I couldn't be together, I wanted him to change my mind. I wanted him to be mine again. The next hour passed in a blur. We said goodbye to the guests, we had the tips meeting, and we were dismissed for a full 24 hours. That was a lot of time to drink. Whoop! August called as Captain Moss left the galley. Freedom and a stack of dollar bills. She waved a white envelope with her tip in it. It's good to be alive. Can we crack open the beers? Crew began to crowd around the fridge, and I took the opportunity to slide out of the banquette. I have to go make a call, I whispered to Skylar. She slid an arm around my waist. Be careful. Remember, you are an incredible woman who sees only the best in others. I told Skylar about my conversation with Hayden. She was skeptical about him flying to Miami, about his protestations of love, and I understood that. I'd forgiven him, but that didn't mean I could accept him back in my heart. I don't know where we'll end up, but I figure I'll listen to what he has to say. The fact was, even if we could put everything about canon in our past, which I believed was possible, the practicalities of dating someone like Hayden were impossible. But I wanted to hear him out in a way that he'd never really listened to me when I told him I wasn't Kenan's spy. You deserve to be happy, she said. I kissed her on the cheek, and then, without anyone noticing, I dipped out of the galley. I didn't even change. I just grabbed my bag and Hayden's number and headed off the yacht. All I could think about was the way he held me so tightly and protectively, the way he looked at me when I was talking, as if I were saying the most interesting thing he'd ever heard, the whisper of his lips against my skin, his reluctant smile. I just wished it had meant as much to him as it had to me. I gathered speed, wanting to find a quiet place to call as soon as I could. As I got to the end of the jetty, I scanned the marina, trying to think about where I might go.
Looking for someone?
I spun around and came face to face with Hayden Wolfe.
Chapter 39. Hayden. Patience had never been my strong point, but sometimes that wasn't a bad thing. After all, it meant I was standing here in front of Avery. I couldn't just sit in a hotel room and wait for her to call. I'd come down to the marina to watch her yacht dock.
What are you doing here?
She asked, her smile pulling up the corners of my mouth as I stepped toward her.
Waiting for you, I replied, sliding my hand over her hip. She tried to step out of my arms, but there was no way I was going to let that happen.
I said I'd call.
And I said I'd wait.
I was about to call you,
she said, her hand sliding over my chest. I shuddered at the perfect feel of her.
What were you going to say?
Her smile faltered.
I was going to say I'll hear you out.
Like I should have done to you, I mumbled. She was a better human being than me. I'd questioned her, accused her, and here she was, still offering me a chance to set things straight. I understand I betrayed you. You have every reason to hate me.
I don't hate you, but I also know that you can't possibly feel for me what I feel for you. Because if you did, we wouldn't be standing here heading in different directions. And I can't be with someone I love more than they love me. My heart is fragile enough. It can't cope with the inevitable disappointment that comes from that.
I groaned, desperate to take on all the pain I'd caused her, all the pain she felt inside. I was an idiot. I accept that, but let me prove to you that I have learned my lesson. I should never have questioned you. But don't ever think it was because I didn't love you enough. I stand here, not just believing, but knowing that I will love you until my last breath. That's true whether you walk away from me, or you let me keep proving my love to you for the rest of our lives. She covered her face with her hands, in the same way I'd seen her do through binoculars all those weeks before.
I'm here for the next 5 months, Hayden. We don't work together.
Look at me, I said, circling my hands around her wrists and uncovering her face. I swiped my thumbs below her eyes, hating that I'd caused her grief. 5 months is nothing. I pulled out her hair tie, letting her chestnut brown locks fall free, the ends caught by the falling sun. There she was, my Avery. It's all details. We'll figure it out. She swept her fingers over my cheekbone, shaking her head.
They're important details, and I can't open myself up again. Not to you. Not when I don't know how it's going to end.
I'll tell you how it's going to end. You're going to marry me. We're going to have 20 kids, and we're going to grow old together.
Fuck.
I'd never thought a wife would be in my future, let alone kids. But being with Avery, that was all I could see. Her. Forever. She rolled her eyes.
I need you to be serious. If we can't make dating work, then what hope do we have?
We're way beyond dating, my love. Don't you get it? You need to understand that when we met, there was no going back. I belong to you now. You belong to me. Tell me it's not true.
I can't. I love you.
My heart swooped. She was mine. I love you more than you will ever know. I took her hand and strode down the dock. But if you want to nail down the details, plan it all out. Let's go.
Where are we going? Not to your hotel, because...
What? You won't be able to keep your greedy little hands off me. She laughed, and part of me died that I'd had to wait so long to hear that again. No, we're going to my car. I have my laptop. We're going to make a plan.
A plan?
Yeah. I'm going to figure out how much time I can spend over here. Maybe I'll get an office or something.
In Miami? You're just going to move to the States, just like that?
I stopped suddenly and faced her. You don't get it, do you? I want you, and I'm going to do whatever it takes, and that means doing whatever you need.
I think this might be my last season anyway, she said. My brother's insurers were a pain in my ass, but we have a charity that's pledged to step in.
She stopped talking and looked at me, her eyes narrowing.
You found out the insurers had reassessed my brother's benefits, she said. It was you. Lycan. Wolf. Shit, Hayden.
She stamped her foot on the ground, but didn't try to drop my hand. It was time for my final confession. I'd hoped to tell her once she'd agreed to be mine. I didn't want money or any weird sense of obligation to color her decision. The Lycan Foundation is my charity. They've agreed to fund your brother's care. It really was the least I could do. I was the reason it was cut in the first place.
You can't do that. I can't be dependent on you. What if we split? Then what?
Didn't you just hear me? I cupped her face in my hands. We're not going to split up. Not ever. And anyway, the money is ring-fenced for your brother. There's no going back on that. She sighed, her head resting against my palm.
It's too much. I can never repay you.
I don't want you to. This was the right thing to do, whether or not I'm in love with you. I caused your brother's health insurer to stop funding his care.
No, Cannon did. Exactly. I brought them to your door. You can't say no to this. It's for your brother. And it's excellent for my tax planning. I released her and took her hand as she swatted at my arm. Thank you, she said, as we began to walk toward the car again. That's an amazing thing you did. It's nothing compared to what you've done for other people your whole life. This was just money. It's nothing. You think we can figure out these logistics? She asked, looking up at me. I know we can. As long as we're together, we can do anything. I've never been erect over a spreadsheet, I announced as Avery pressed save. Are you hard because of the spreadsheet or because it's finished? We'd agreed I'd fly to the Caribbean as much as I could to catch Avery between charters, and in the meantime she'd figure out what she wanted to do. Now she could pursue her own dreams. Because I'm looking at you, I said, as I reached for her, threading my fingers into her hair. Her gaze slid to my crotch as my dick pressed against my zip, trying to escape. She rose from where she sat and straddled me so we were face to face.
I think I want to go back to school. College, she said. I'd like to teach.
She shrugged as if she was almost embarrassed. You're amazing. Even now, able to do anything she liked, she wanted to do something that would help people. I love you more every second I know you. She grinned and pressed her mouth against my jaw.
I like hearing that.
That I love you. She pulled back.
Yeah, I don't feel so stupid for falling for you as hard as I did, for loving you as much as I do.
I groaned and pressed my hand against her ass, pushing her against my straining cock, and she ground against me. Fuck, she felt good.
You think college would work? I mean, that's 4 years. And my dad and brother, they're in California. You're in London.
They can move, or we can move, or we'll just split our time. Whatever you want.
Are you sure you're not just saying this so I'll get naked?
She fumbled with my fly. I'm definitely saying it so you'll get naked, but I'll still mean it after we're dressed again.
I only have 24 hours, she whispered into my ear. It's not long enough. I know how good you make me feel.
I groaned and stood, carrying her to the bed. Then I'd better get started. I don't want you to miss out on anything. I undressed her, then dumped my clothes on the floor until we were both naked. I stood over her, staring down at her perfect body, trying to take it all in. Jesus, I was a lucky fucker. I knew that whatever happened, however many more times Cannon tried to bring me down, they'd never succeed. I had Avery Walker, and that made me a winner every day of the week. I didn't know where to start with her. I was always so sure of everything in my world, except when it came to the woman in front of me. She constantly had me off balance. Maybe that was why I loved her. I leaned over her, trailing my fingers over her thigh and dipping over her pussy. Her skin was hot and tight, and as I pushed between her folds, so wet. 24 hours. Jesus. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to let her leave this room after a week. I had too much I wanted to do to her, too much I wanted to share with her.
We'll have more time soon,
she whispered, as if she understood what I was thinking. She usually did. She circled her hand around my cock, and my hips bucked toward her. I needed more, wanted to feel every part of her on me, over me, surrounding me. There are so many things I want to do to you. I crawled over her and rolled to my side, pulling her toward me, her back to my front.
As long as it involves me having an orgasm, I'm good with any of them.
I chuckled and hooked her leg back over mine and buried my face in her neck, savoring the feel of her skin sliding against mine. I pressed my palm to her stomach, shifting her toward me
so my cock rubbed over her sex from behind. Her heat and wetness, and the promise of what came next, chased the breath from my chest. I dipped my fingers into her pussy, and she sighed. "Fuck! Condom!" I spat. I'd been so focused on getting her naked and touching her, I'd forgotten. I pulled away, but she stopped me.
"Do we have to?"
she asked, her voice small and quiet. She didn't have to say any more. I knew what she was asking.
"There's been no one since you,"
I whispered, circling her clit.
"No one except the memory of you." "Me neither," she said, shifting a little so she could look at me.
Relief shot out of my chest as it became clear that although our feelings for each other had been stretched, they'd never reached a breaking point. On some level, we'd always remained committed to each other, even through the darkest of times. It was what I needed to hear from her.
"I never wanted anyone but you."
She smoothed a palm over my jaw, and I pressed at her entrance, so deliciously smooth and wet. I wanted this to be slow, wanted to savor it, but I knew it would be impossible. A low buzz hummed just beneath my skin, trying to get out, and I knew I needed to fuck this woman. I'd known we were connected from the first moment I'd laid eyes on Avery, but I still had a primal desire to make her mine. To fuck her so hard, she'd feel me in every move she made for the next week.
"Make it good, Hayden. Fuck me."
My control snapped at her request. I groaned and pushed her to her stomach, lifted her hips and rammed into her, right to the hilt. She cried out, her sounds muffled by the mattress, as she braced her hands against the headboard.
"Let me hear you," I grunted.
So much of our time together had been dominated by caution and an inability to let go. But now I wanted to hear all her sounds, to own them, categorize them, then create new ones. I fucked her harder, faster, plowing her into the bed as her moans grew louder.
"You see how good I fuck you? No one else will ever have you again. You're all mine. This pussy is all mine,"
she chanted beneath me.
"Yes, Hayden. Yes, please. More. Hayden, fuck me. Please."
A breathy voice moaning my name, begging me to fuck her as my cock drove into her, was more than I could ever have hoped. She was mine. I heard it in her desperation. The only reason I lasted longer than 10 seconds was because of the blood pounding in my ears, taking the edge off the sounds of her pleasure. Her hands clenched into fists against the wooden headboard, and she tightened around me. I wasn't going to be able to stop myself from coming. It was too much, too good, too perfect. Her cries grew louder, less controlled, sharper, and she convulsed around me. I couldn't stop the staccato growls of desire resonating from my chest every time I pushed into her, as her pussy tightened and tightened. My orgasm circled at the base of my spine, then shot up and across my body as I stabbed my hips forward, fucking her orgasm out of her, claiming it for myself. Knowing how much she loved to make other people feel good, the ability to make her feel good was power I'd never experienced before. It was far more thrilling than any business deal or acquisition. Still gulping for air, I lay over her and rolled to my side, pulling her with me.
"Every time I come with you, it's always the orgasm to end all orgasms," I said.
She shuffled around in my arms.
"And then, all too soon, you're chasing the next one,"
she said, finishing my sentence. I pulled her closer, wanting the press of her hot skin covering me. There should be no space between us. She was mine and I was hers. She slid her legs over mine and tipped me to my back so she straddled me. Although my limbs were heavy and weak, there was nothing that would stop me from fucking Avery. I sat up and we came face to face, and I pulled her bottom lip between my teeth, released it, and stole a kiss from her already reddened lips. I cupped her hips and brought her closer to me, my cock rubbing against her pussy. She hummed a note of contented pleasure as she circled her hips, coaxing my dick back to life. It didn't take long. Just being in the same room with this beautiful woman got me hard. Having her naked and in my arms was almost too good to comprehend. She stroked her hands up my arms, watching them as if she were inspecting my body, then pressed her fingers along my collarbone and up my throat. "I'm all yours," I said.
"I want to know every part of you," she said,
circling her hips a little faster, the slickness between us growing. I groaned, and my dick twitched beneath her. She trailed one hand down my chest and grasped my straining cock, lifting up on her knees as she placed me at her entrance. She gasped, and I knew that was my cue. I tightened my fingers around her and pulled her down onto me. She threw her head back and screamed. Christ, I loved her sounds and how they vibrated around my cock. I pushed her back, the drag of my flesh against hers sending shockwaves across my body, and then slammed her against me again. She liked to be on top, but she also liked me in control.
"Yes, Satan,"
she said on an exhale, and I began to plot out a rhythm, pushing and pulling, grinding and slamming, fucking and fucking. Part of me wanted to close my eyes and savor the feel of her soft flesh beneath my fingers, her pussy around my cock, but I couldn't stop gazing at her, the jut of her breasts, the rosy pink nipples, temptingly pointing at me, the white expanse of her throat that I promised myself I would lick later, her hair tumbled across her shoulders. I flipped her over, and her legs went around my waist as I set to work to drive us both toward our climax. I thrust and thrust, wanting to solidify our connection, make her mine, stop her from ever leaving me. She arched her back, digging her fingernails into my shoulder as she began to come. The pulse of her pussy and the bite of her nails set the touch paper on my own orgasm as my balls tightened, and I pushed into her as far as I could get, not wanting this perfect connection to end. No matter what came next, fucking Avery, loving her, being with her, would be the most satisfying thing I'd ever do in my life. Epilogue. 9 months later. Hayden. As I pulled into the driveway, Avery stood in the doorway in jeans and what looked like one of my old shirts. It drowned her petite frame, but still managed to be impossibly sexy. Would I still get that rush of heat in my gut when I saw her waiting for me 20 years from now? Christ, I hoped so. She raced toward the car, the gold edges of her hair flashing in the noon sun as I pulled to a halt. "Hey, beautiful," I said, as she swung open the car door before I'd even unclicked my seatbelt.
"Can you believe we're doing this? Like, really doing this?"
Her wide smile always coaxed mine from wherever it was hiding. I slid out of the car and she linked her hands around my neck. I pressed my lips to hers. "We're really doing this." I glanced up at our new house. We'd bought it the day after we landed in London. We'd had 20 viewings lined up over 3 days, but we'd walked into this one and hadn't bothered looking at another. It was a modern house, about an hour outside of London, in a leafy village, and set on 5 acres of land. It had taken 2 months to get the owners out, and another 2 to get the renovations done, but it was finally ready.
"I'm going to get to welcome you home from work every day."
"Naked?" I asked.
"Maybe some days."
She scrunched up her nose.
"A lot of days, probably. But not today. Not yet. I've had 1,000 deliveries."
"Well, I'm about to make another," I said, opening the door to the back seats. I pulled out a cardboard tube and handed it to her.
"Are they good? Did you look?"
she asked, popping out the plastic end of the tube and peering into it. "I thought we should look together." She gazed up at me, and I placed another kiss on her lips, before grabbing a small black gift bag and slamming the door.
This is our home, Hayden. I, like, live in the UK and everything now,
she said as we approached the threshold. I couldn't be happier about that, I replied as we went inside and I shrugged off my jacket. I glanced around. We'd only moved in the day before, but the place still looked pretty empty apart from the basics. Avery didn't have much to ship from the US, and we'd kept the flat in London, so we were starting from scratch here. As long as we had a bed and a sofa, I didn't care about anything other than what made Avery happy. I'm sorry I had to go into the office today. I just needed to.
It's totally fine. It was fun straightening things out. I ordered some more stuff online, and I started my reading. There's a lot. They're going to work me hard.
No doubt. King's College is one of the best universities in the country. I pressed my lips to her forehead. I couldn't be more proud that she was finally doing what she wanted to do.
Which is why I can't believe they took me.
I never had any doubt, I said, and got a now familiar eye roll. She slid the cardboard tube onto the dining table, turned and pressed her hands against my chest. I exhaled and gripped her waist, knowing I was the luckiest guy in Europe.
Welcome home,
she said, smiling up at me. I pressed my lips against hers, and we kissed and kissed and kissed. Pressing my lips to Avery's never got old. I ached to kiss her whenever I was away from her. Let's look at this. I lifted my chin, indicating the plans I'd collected from the architects. Then let's crawl into bed and make sure the mattress works. She inhaled.
Okay. I'm nervous, though. That mattress is going to see some action. It needs to be robust.
I growled and buried my head in her neck before releasing her and turning to the table. I slid the thin sheets of paper out of the tube, and without me saying anything, she held one end while I unrolled the other. Wow, we said in unison at the front elevation. Hang on, I'm going to get something to hold down the corners. I disappeared into the kitchen and grabbed a handful of cutlery. That should do it.
I knew spoons would be useful, she said,
weighing down the corners so the pages didn't curl.
It looks amazing. What do you think?
It's great. Let's look at the floor plans. I pulled off the first sheet of paper to reveal the floor plan of the one-story building that would be 20 feet from our house. The rooms are all big, with wide walkways. We pored over the details as if we were looking at a treasure map.
Great, though we might not need wheelchair access forever. I mean, Michael's standing now. Still, my dad will love it. Michael will love it.
She shook her head.
Are you sure you're okay having them so close?
She couldn't think I had a single doubt, could she? Of course I'm sure. I like your dad and Michael, and I want them to be happy. And I'm grateful they said yes. When Avery had finished up the season and her yachting career, I'd met her in Miami, and we'd flown back to Sacramento for 2 weeks before coming to London. While we were in California, I'd floated the idea of Avery's family moving to England. Her father had said he'd be open to it down the line, but in the meantime he'd insisted that Avery apply to universities in London. Avery had resisted at first, until her dad had made her see that if she went back to Sacramento every holiday, she'd still end up seeing them more than she would have if she'd continued to work on yachts. It was the sort of thing my father would have done, and I admired how Mr. Walker put his daughter first.
And if there's a house right there, next to us, they can stay for as long as they like, right?
Exactly. That's why we bought this place, after all, I said, as I slid my hands around her waist, looking over her shoulder at the life we were building.
I don't think my dad realized. Not at first.
Realized? Her hand slipped over mine.
You know, understood how this was it, that we were forever.
Happiness tugged at my chest as the certainty in her voice took hold. Avery had such an open heart. It hadn't taken long for me to convince her that I'd never let her down again. I'd never again question her integrity or wonder about her loyalty. She was more than I deserved, and I'd do everything in my power to be worthy of the trust that she had in me, in us, for the rest of our lives. I love you, Avery Walker. She turned around in my arms and cupped my face in her hands.
I know. I love you too.
I released her for a second and picked up the black gift bag I'd brought in from the car. You and I have been to some beautiful places. We've taken in breathtaking scenery, gazed out onto the ocean together, watched the sunrise over the water. But I thought being here, in our home, looking over these plans, would be the most suitable place to propose. I pulled out a velvet box from the bag.
Propose?
She asked. Are you surprised? We'd been clear about how we felt about each other. Wasn't this the next step?
I don't know. I guess it already feels like we're married. I never expected a formal proposal.
Her eyes flicked from me to the box. I chuckled. Are you saying no?
You haven't asked.
She traced her finger over the edge of a blue velvet corner.
And I haven't seen the ring.
She winked. I got fun, relaxed Avery all the time now. Since she'd finished her last season, the only time I'd seen the chief stewardess was when she'd been applying for college courses or talking to the therapists about her brother's progress. So if the ring's ugly, you might say no? I asked. She pulled in a breath as if she was thinking about her response.
I don't know. I guess it depends on how ugly.
I snapped open the box to reveal the princess-cut diamond solitaire. She pressed her lips together and nodded.
I would say that's a pass.
A pass? I asked, chuckling. The ring was 4 carats and the highest quality diamond I could find. I thought this size was wearable, but if it takes something bigger for you to say yes, just say the word. I sighed in mock exasperation. She shrugged.
I guess you won't know until you ask.
I pulled her toward me and dipped to press a kiss to her lips. Avery Walker, will you marry me?
Hayden Wolf, I'll marry you any time and every time you ever ask me.
She was right. We didn't need a ring or a ceremony to know we would be together forever. Our feelings, our love and respect for each other, were what bound us together. I'd gone looking for a way to save my business and found a woman who brought me to life. I'd never need anything other than Avery Walker. She was my sunset and my sunrise, my choppy waters and my calm seas, my everything.
Another year later, Avery. I kept a careful eye on my speed as I made my way back from college on the last day of the school year. I was just so eager to get home. 3 months of no studying lay ahead of me as I pulled into the driveway. Hayden waved and strode toward the car as I parked. "School's out for summer," he said as he opened the door. "Sure is, and I got a first for that paper I handed in last week."
"The Piaget one?"
he asked. How he kept track with all the course-related stuff I talked about, I had no idea. He always seemed so interested in every little detail I ever told him about it. "That's the one." I squeezed his hand before he released me to grab my books from the back seat.
"I have some pretty interesting news myself, actually,"
he said as we wandered into the dining room.
"I got a call today. Canon is being sold."
"Wow. Are you going to buy it?" Although I'd admired the way Hayden hadn't wanted to go after Canon in revenge, I'd always wanted them to get their comeuppance. Not just for what they'd done to my family, but also what they'd done to Hayden's father. He shook his head.
"There's no way he'd ever sell to me, but it was good to get the call. Apparently they aren't expecting any cash for it, they just want someone to take on their debt."
I stopped walking and turned to face Hayden. "What, so it will be free as long as whoever buys it takes on their loans?"
"Exactly. I was right. They overpaid for the companies they stole from me. The man who sent my father into bankruptcy and tried to destroy us is paying the ultimate price.
Wow. How do you feel? I asked as I headed inside.
Pleased that I wasn't the cause of their failure. I never wanted one man's bitterness.